Before we get started with tonight's episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, let me talk to you about mybookie.ag. It's a great fantasy site or gambling site, whatever site you're looking for, to bet on all the sports you want, all the political races, all the Grammys just took place, all the Academy Awards. But we're listening to the golf podcast. They have some of the best odds on outright winners, top 10s, top 20s, the works. And if you're new to them, making a first-time deposit, use promo code BENCHED, and you'll get a 50% deposit bonus. Deposit $100, use promo code BENCHED, get a free $50, up to $1,000. So you deposit $1,000, get a free $500 by using promo code BENCHED at mybookie.ag. They even have the AAF that just started this past weekend. Not many sites have them. Mybookie.ag does. So again, promo code BENCHED, first-time depositors, 50% deposit bonus. Also, if you give us a rating and review on iTunes, we'd much, much appreciate it. It would help the podcast continue to grow and become bigger and better as we get going and help us a lot. So we'd really appreciate it. With all that being said, welcome to the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2019 Genesis Open.
Lay. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building. Yeah.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. Getting ready to preview the 2019 Genesis Open. I'm on Twitter at BDEntrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Doing well, dude. We're past a couple of these kind of difficult tournaments to follow track, get into, and we're going to get into some better tournaments starting this week, man. I'm super excited about the Genesis Open here.
Yeah, I got some big boy tournaments coming up. This field for the Genesis is absolutely loaded on a really, really awesome field. So awesome course and everything. So we'll get into that in a minute. But first, let's recap some things that took place at the Weather Shook Pebble Beach is the best way I'll put it. I enjoyed the tournament like I always do, but it was a very tilting tournament for many based on the weather draws. And even Phil Mickelson's one of the best TV I've ever seen yesterday afternoon. Like, that was just amazing. But Phil takes it home, finishes the final two holes this morning on Monday. What's your take on Phil? It's his fifth AT&T Pro-Am.
Yeah, dude. Obviously, he's really good in California, period. He just is. I don't know. Obviously, he's from California, but he's just good over there. It was interesting. There was a lot of WDs going into it, and I had quite a bit of Cantlay. I ended up pivoting to Phil there to save what would have otherwise been a terrible week. But yeah, man, I mean, dude, you guys out there, I know you've been in a drought, and then all of a sudden now it's just like you're in a rainforest, and it's kind of at the worst time of the year, especially since golf is out there right now, and it's rough. That tournament was rough to follow, but it was, I agree with you, getting down there to the end, him and Casey on 16, Casey basically saying, I'm not going to putt out, so you can't start 17. And Phil saying, oh, I can see just fine. And then not 5 minutes later, these guys are on 18, literally in the dark, playing. And the only reason they can see is because there's a giant scoreboard beside of them. And Piercy three putts and probably cost himself a couple $10,000. It was just a wild weekend, man. And, you know, we mentioned that last week going into it. Like, this is unpredictable. It's crazy because of the weather. It's crazy because of three different courses. You know, it was something. I'm not a fan of that tournament at all. I think it's okay, but I'd rather not.
Yeah, it was weird because the weather, for the most part, wasn't as bad as people thought it would be. And even Sunday is supposed to be just kind of scattered showers, nothing crazy. They did not predict hail. Hail was about the only thing that was going to stop them, because if it was just regular rain, they probably would have played through that. But and they would have finished. It was that long, almost hour plus hail delay that really killed things. And yeah, that doesn't happen much out here. So just throwing that out there. Like right now along the sides of the valley I live in on the mountains, there is snow. So things we don't get in California very often, where I am at least.
Yeah, that looked like sleet. Like, that's what I thought it was. Because, you know, in Kentucky, we do get obviously a lot of different types of weather, and sleet's one of them. And that was wild to see. I mean, it covered the freaking greens, mm-hmm. had to shut down play. Yeah, man. I mean, when's the last time? I mean, I know they showed some pictures of like 62 or something and it snowed at Pebble, but I mean, just an overall weird week. I mean, we didn't even mention Paul Casey had a 3-shot lead going into the final round and blows it. Of course, Phil played out of his mind, bogey free 7-under on Sunday. So, but you know, just a weird week, dude.
Yeah. Phil is lights out, but we got to almost wonder about Casey because he's still a great golfer. We're not going to take that away from him. And he got that big win last year. This is his second straight tournament now. He's gone out with I'm not going to say comfortable lead, but a pretty good lead into a final round of a tournament, and he's wasted it away. So it's kind of concerning to me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, I was texting with a buddy Saturday night talking about Showdown, and he was like, you know, Paul Casey's a must play. I was like, yeah, but we know how he is with the lead. I mean, the dude's just not a finisher. His one win last year is to come from behind. Like, he's not even anywhere close to the final group, and he comes in and just goes insanely low that day and wins it in the clubhouse while the other guys are faltering out. I don't know what it is with Paul Casey. I don't know if his back was just got messed up because of the coldness, the wetness, or if he just can't close. That's what I'm starting to lean towards. I love him. He's a great golfer, but I just don't think he has that like killer mentality. Like Phil, he's got the killer mentality. He's won 45 times on the PGA Tour now, 44 times, whatever it is. Yeah. And so he knows what it takes to win. He goes out and he shoots 7-under, bogey free, wins the golf tournament. He won that golf tournament.
Yeah.
And I know Casey did not play well, but even if Casey plays, you know, I don't know. Casey, I don't think, had a 5-under in him yesterday to win.
No, he was poking and prodding along, and he was having it's weird. I don't want to say he was having trouble with the elements, but he seemed kind of like, you know, if he had a bad lie or this, that, or the other, and even with the lip clean and play, he seemed like it kind of was like not comfortable. It was really weird watching him play, which you think a guy over there, you know, from the England area would be able to handle that kind of weather, but teach their own. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just he's got to change the way he approaches final rounds if he's in the lead. At this point, I really think that's the issue versus anything else.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on the AT&T? Because there's a ton I could talk about, but it might bore many. So any final thoughts on top of your mind?
Man, I got nothing, dude. I'm just glad it's over with and we don't have to deal with foursomes and 6-hour rounds and all that kind of thing. We can get back some normal one course golf.
The last thing I will say though is Ho Sung Choi. Yes, he missed the cut, shot 9-over, kind of what you expect from a guy coming over from the Chinese tour. But I hope there's more of him because this guy embraces golf and the people around golf. Even in practice rounds, you walk around and there's guys who are kind of just, they don't want to be around anybody. They just want to put their holes in and walk away. He's out there having fun. He's with the amateurs trying to teach them swings. His golf bag has his logo. His caddy's leg had a logo that said "Grip It and Rip It" on it. He embraced things and he'd be high fiving people everywhere. This guy was something else. So I'm not saying that's for everybody in golf, but for tournaments like these, like Waste Management and others, I hope there's more chances for him. I know it takes the spot of some other golfers, but he kind of brings some of the good to golf that some of the curmudgeons take away from it.
Yeah, one thing I did notice though, I mean, like on Twitter yesterday, somebody was bitching about Ho Sung getting a sponsor's exemption, but the other one was Drew Love and he missed the cut. I mean, you know, so when these sponsors give exemptions, it's to generate more buzz. It's to get more people out to their golf tournament. It's to get more money, yada, yada, yada. And I have no issue with him. You know, I mean, he's a professional golfer. He is totally different than anything we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fun to watch him. And like you said, it seems like he's a good guy. I saw some pictures of him on Twitter just taking pictures with, you know, different people throughout the week. It seemed like he was having a good time. So good for him, man.
Yeah, he embraced it. That's all I liked about it. He made it fun for the fans, for the players. Like Aaron Rodgers saw him on the first day and he tweeted out, "Can I play with this guy?" And the PGA tweets back, "If you ask, you shall receive," and played with him for 3 days. Like it was just, it was fun. It's what that tournament's supposed to be for. I know there's professional golf on it. But it's also supposed to be a kind of goofy, fun tournament.
No, 100%. I mean, they were talking about how they've raised like $150 million for local charities there in Monterey. So, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's just for golf perspective, like me and you who've got money involved and we're, you know, trying to grind out a season, like this is just a speed bump in the road here. So we've hit it and let's get it on here. We've got about 2 months to the Masters. So this next stretch of golf is going to be really awesome.
And the one last thing, we don't have to talk about it, is walking around. I got to look at a lot of the new tee markers for the Open and a lot of the ways the rough is cut. And the reason why it wasn't as obvious in this tournament is because with the rain coming, they cut it really low because they're afraid they wouldn't be able to keep up with it. They didn't want it to play like the U.S. Open. So that's why it didn't look as bad. But you could, when you're in person, you can see the different colors and the different way it's going to grow. But the tee blocks are very obvious. There are certain holes. I tweeted out a video on one. I believe it's 10. It's a good 50 yards behind. It turns into like a 500-yard par four. And it's right on the ocean. So if it gets windy, good luck. They're going to do the best they can. There's a lot of boxes you're not going to move. They just got to kind of tweak things. But they are moving some things around where it's going to be fun out there.
Yeah, it's going to play totally different in the summer too. You know it just as well as I do. It's not going to be the same golf course. And I hope it's not as wet because I know those greens got ridiculously bumpy on Sunday. I mean, you could tell.
They got destroyed, and like Champ was driving the ball, and it would just plug. Everyone was plugging, so right. He'd drive it in the air like 280 yards, which was amazing. But yeah, another story for another day. Let's get to the 2019 Genesis Open, what everybody's here to listen about over at the Riviera Country Club. Get to the course preview in a second, but what do you got for past event history, Jesse?
Yeah, it's Bubba week, dude. Three-time champion, including last year, Bubba Watson. He shot 12 under. He beat Kevin Na and Tony Finau by two shots. 2017 was Dustin Johnson, five shots over Scott Brown and Thomas Peters. 2016 was a Bubba year again, 15 under. James Hahn won in 2015. Bubba won again in 2014. And then other past, Phil's won here twice. Adam Scott's a past winner here. So a lot of big names, man. This field this week is extra stacked, too.
It's ridiculous. Top of my head, it feels like it's even better than 2 weeks ago at Torrey. This feels like it's big boy golf time. And and you mentioned some names there. It's a longer course, but not bombers only, if that makes sense. Bombers have an advantage here, big time. It's a par 71, over 7,300 yards for the tournament tees. Again, 144 golfers this week, top 70 in ties make the cut. This course has been around since 1926. Of course, renovations have taken place, like many of the bunkers they have. That's one thing this course gets guys is sand save. Like on tournament, I was reading sand save percentage is usually around 55% for professional golfers. At this tournament, it's 40 to 43%. These bunkers are difficult. Now, after last year's tournament, they renovated them. I'm guessing they made them slightly harder, maybe some easier. Who knows? So we'll have to kind of keep an eye on that. But there's bunkers throughout the fairways, around the greens, lots of difficulty there. Greens aren't huge, not like Pebble Beach small, but they're not huge. They're POA greens. So, shot making is going to be very, very important. I did mention how long it is. There's six par fours at over 455 yards. There's two of the three par fives are over 580 yards. So it's one of those, they said the rough isn't extremely penal unless it's wet, which it could happen with some weird weather again this week here in California. It's supposed to be staying north, but it could head south. We don't know. But it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out because if it gets wet, it's going to be one of those where they just bomb it away and it's going to stick. And just like we saw last week, but it's even more of a factor at Riviera. The other thing is you need a good iron play because the fairways are narrow, but you can kind of fly over stuff here, but you're still going to have a ways in. So good iron play and your approach shots will be very, very important here. Kind of like Torrey a couple weeks ago. A lot of correlations you get here. People that do well at Augusta do well here. Heard a lot of things that people that played well at either or Pebble or Waste play well here. There's a lot of correlations to a lot of recent form coming in here, basically what it comes down to. And then again, the Augusta features as well. Some other things to do is you heard it mentioned a little bit at Pebble. A lot of stuff out here at Riviera is the Kukui grass. I hate Kukui grass. It is the worst grass on the planet for me as an amateur to try to hit out of. These pros are much better than me. It's very, very spongy. It catches your club. If you don't hit it perfectly, you're going to look like a chunky monkey out there. And it is frustrating. But you guys know what they're doing. Phil actually loves it because it sits up and lets him play with it. What I hate about it is it doesn't allow you to kind of bump and run it up on the green. When it hits, it stops. You're not getting that extra, 20 to 30 yards roll up to the pin. You got to be able to fly the greens and stick it on the greens because of the Kukui around there. There's no real water on the course. Again, tons of bunkers, narrow fairways, POA greens. And then some other weird things for scoring when we talk about stats in a minute. I was reading on Josh Culp's article over there at Roto World
This course plays really weird because it's T15 and eagles on tour. So you're very, very good eagle chances here, but it's also the bottom 15 in birdies. So you're either getting your eagles or you're getting a par probably. It's, you know, one of the better courses for double bogey avoidance because there's no water essentially. It is the hardest non-major course percentage. So par is a very good score here. Stay out of trouble. Get your two putting down. It'll be very, very interesting. What do you got for key stats this week, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of course history here, so I'll wait that as I see fit. One of the things that I usually look at is, proximity, or even on Fantasy National, there's ops gained or opportunities gained. So I'm waiting that at this course, and then also just overall over the last 12 to 24 weeks, just kind of depending on the model that I'm looking at. Strokes gained approach is important this week too. And then looking at some, you know, putting stats on POA as well. Obviously coming off of POA last week, you can kind of see who is able to deal with it. Cause it's kind of a crapshoot with POA, obviously, especially late in the day, it gets bumpy as shit. So guys who can mentally get through that, and be okay. I mean, especially if you saw Phil putting on Sunday, man, he had some putts and it was like, what the fuck? But in reality, it's just the POA is, it's kind of hard to deal with. Yeah. So I think you got to look at some POA stats this week. But also, a stroke scan approach is important, and proximity from 175 to 200 yards. There's a lot of long shots in here.
Yep. A lot of big time iron play, a lot of shots, approach shots, going to be very clutch. I wouldn't say scrambling so much. Sand saves could be something you could look at because they will come into play. But you mentioned POA. My course here is Kukui and POA everywhere. And the afternoon's miserable. Or if you're like the last group in a tournament, miserable. So
yeah.
I can relate to what they're talking about here. Real quick, can you do some more key stats while I cough again, please? I'm coming down with a cold.
Sorry, man. Hey, it's raining too much out there for you California boys. Y'all gonna be all getting sick and 90 times of tore up. One thing about this, they've played this golf course every year since 99. So looking at course history, guys who do well on the West Coast, guys who putt well on POA, are things that can be factored in this week. One of the things that I always look at is just course history in general, but when there's so much of it, it's hard to pass up this week, I think, because, there's people who have really successful on the West Coast and some people who really just are not.
Yeah, definitely. So looking at some FanShare sports before we get into the DraftKings action, guys coming in good form last three events, DraftKings points gained, who's really bringing it. You got guys like Kuchar, Thomas, Mickelson, Rahm, guys you'd expect. Adam Hadwin's fifth, gaining almost 44 points the last 3 weeks. RCB 7th, Cam Smith. Michael Thompson is 10th. When you talk about last six events, a little bigger sample, Kuchar still leads the way. So he's just rock solid. You got Leishman, Reavy's 3rd, Hadwin's 4th. So Hadwin's coming in great form. Of course, you got Xander, Bryson, Rahm. HP3 is 8th, Thomas, and then Mickelson. So a couple nice names to keep in mind there. When you look at just the last four tournaments at Riviera here, it's all that's as far back as FanShare goes. If you look at guys that have played in at least all four, and it's going to be too hard to navigate here. So DraftKings points gained at this tournament that have played four, you got Dustin Johnson is leading the way in a big, big way. Guys like Adam Scott's done really, really well here, Bubba Watson, and then Adam Hadwin. Yet again, he's averaged over 35 DraftKings points gained out of the last 4 years at this tournament. So there's a common theme here with Adam Hadwin's kind of standing out and scaring me a little bit. Last thing I'll mention when it comes to FanShare, I talk about it all the time. They have the red light, yellow light, green lights for course form and course history. Sometimes it's fun to see when you get two greens lined up. A couple guys to look at coming in and with great course history and good current form. You got Mickelson, Xander, Jason Kokrak, Adam Hadwin, RCB, Cooch, Poston, McIlroy, and there's many, many more, but those are some that really stood out there towards the top of the FanShare stuff. So go check them out. A lot of good stuff they have going on over there at FanShare Sports. All right, let's go to the DraftKings pricing this week. You got five guys over $10,000. You got DJ 11-4, JT 11,000, Rory at 10-7, Rahm at 10-4, Bryson at 10-2, some of the best golfers in the world, some of the best bombers in the world, Jesse. Who are you looking at?
Yeah, obviously, it's a star-studded field, so, you know, pick your poison up here kind of thing. I'd say it every week almost, but you can make a case for all these guys. It'll be interesting to see how highly touted DJ is. Pretty lackluster week last week, to say it lightly. I think he pretty much mailed it in on Sunday. The reason I say that is because he was on my showdown team and he was awful. Didn't really care. And, you know, finished what, 40th or something like that last week. So I don't mind at all going back to DJ. I think there's a couple things, obviously a lackluster finish last week, and then he's the highest price. Could be some depressed ownership. Past winner here, he won here 2 years ago. He did win 2 weeks ago over in the Middle East. So I like DJ myself. I've seen JT's name mentioned a bunch already this week. He was ninth here last year, third at, you know, in Phoenix. So he's playing well enough. Rory's got two straight 20ths at this golf course in 2018, 2019, two straight top 20s as well, fifth in the Farmers and fourth in the Tournament of Champions. So he is viable. John Rahm never played here. He's kind of a West Coast guy, though. Fifth at the Farmers Insurance Open, 10th at in Phoenix, sixth at the Desert Classic. So he's in good form. I like Bryson. I think there's a couple things with Bryson. His course history is 41st and a WD in 2017. So I think that might get some people off of him. He is kind of the last of the top guys here, but he has, four or five wins? One, two, three, four wins since August. I mean, it's hard to argue with his form. He's sixth at the Saudi International, the one that DJ won a couple weeks ago. He won the Desert Dubai the Dubai Desert Classic. So, I mean, it for me, I like Bryson and DJ the most up here. I think JT and Rory and maybe even Rahm will get the most buzz, but those would be the two that I will focus on this week.
Yeah, I feel Dustin's going to always get – I know he's the highest-priced guy coming off a bad week, but people love Dustin at this track. It's just – I mentioned the DK points gained. He torches this place outside of, I think, last year's just debacle. But I like JT a lot at $11,000. He's just locked in right now. When it comes to, like, stroke to gained approach, there's not many people better than him. You know, two top threes in his last three, as you mentioned. He's made four cuts here, including a T9 last year. So I really like JT at $11,000. If you go down to 10-4 at John Rahm, I think it's a great play. It's his first time here, which is kind of surprising to me, but a 10th, a 5th, a 6th, an 8th, a 1st, his last five tournaments. The dude is absolutely locked in. And, you know, when he got that 10th there at the Waste Management, he didn't even look like he was playing that well, and he still put a 10th together. Like, he was just going with the flow and just making it happen. So I like Rahm quite a bit. And I agree, I like Bryson a lot. I think he's a really good pick here. People are too focused on his history. They'll forget the fact this is a completely different Bryson DeChambeau than you saw last time he came through, or last two times he came through here. You mentioned the success he's had on the Euro Tour in the last two events, just overall in the last, like, 4 or 5 months. In the last 2 years, he's made 25 or 30 cuts with 13 top 10s. There's a ton to like with Bryson at 10-2. So those are the three guys I'm targeting, kind of look at ownership on a fan share to see where that kind of weighs out and where it goes. But there's a lot to like there. One thing Fanshare did mention last year, there were seven golfers at 20% ownership or more. None of them finished in the top 10 in DK points last year at the Genesis. So something to keep in mind if you're looking at Fanshare ownership going forward. All right, let's look at the 9K range here. We got a good group of guys. Phil Mickelson coming off that win from Pebble. Yeah, Bubba Watson, the defending champion at 97. He loves this course. Tiger Woods at 95, Xander at 94, Hideki at 93, Spieth 92, Tony Finau kind of limping around right now at 91, and Cantlay at 9,000. A lot to like here, Jesse. Where are you going?
Yeah, there is. I mean, this 9,000 range is also loaded. You know, I don't mind Phil personally, though. I think if you play Phil, it's a little bit more difficult to fit in, you know, one of these top guys, and if you're focused on them, then it's you know, you're pretty much going to go from there down to the, like the 8K range and then the 7K range and from there. But there are some viable 6K options too. So feels okay. Bubba, I think, I mean, it's hard for me to see Bubba not being popular. You know, he's won this event twice in the last 3 years. His form is you know, okay coming in. Not a super huge fan of him. He did finish fourth in Phoenix and mm-hmm. missed the cut in, at the Sony Open. So, you know, it's okay. But it, Bubba just gets on some tracks and just loves them and just tears them up. So, you know, if you start your team with Phil and Bubba, maybe that's a little bit different. Personally, though, like in this range, a couple of guys, you know, I think Finau, I'm hope at it, this is a hope and a prayer, and it's probably not going to be answered, is that after him not really being that great last week, that it'll depress some ownership. He did finish second here last year. I love him again this week. You know, miscut in Phoenix and not a great finish last week. So I do like Tony quite a bit. Hideki, another guy, he's hitting it really well. Course history is it's okay. I mean, it's pretty good, really. Miscut 11th, 4th, 23rd, and coming off a 15th there in Phoenix with a 3rd at the Farmers Insurance Open. So big fan of him as well this week. Another guy, you know, I never get him correct, but the stats tell me that he should do well this week is Xander. Like I said, it's a full disclaimer. I never get him right. He did finish 9th here last year, coming off a 10th in Phoenix. And he just lines up on the things that I'm looking at. So I guess I'm going to play him. but never get him right. So, you know, I don't know what else to tell you.
I do like Bubba this week at 97. It's interesting because he can be very bad, but a T4 at the Waste Management. The last 5 years here, first, a withdrawal at first, a T14 and a first.
I mean, so, he dominates it. Like, he just loves this place.
Yeah, and he flat out says because he has to make shots, his ball moves, I think it's right to left. It just plays in almost everything that takes place here. Would we be surprised if Bubba, you know, shits the bed? No. Not at all. But this is one of the fun ones. This is the tournament last year where he almost withdrew to go play in the All-Star game, the Celebrity All-Star game. So,
right. If he didn't get the morning Friday, he was withdrawing. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't mind him at 97. It's going to be tough because there's some other guys I like a little more here, but he's a very, very solid play here. I like Xander a lot. T9 in his first appearance here last year, coming in an outstanding form. T16 or better in four of his last five. He has two wins in the, like you want it, the Century Tournament Champions and the HSBC. So two wins already on this technically calendar year for PGA Tour. So a lot to like with Xander. Always kind of goes overlooked in this range of big name golfers. So I like him a lot at 94. A guy I'm starting to become a fan of, and it's really, really weird to say, I was on him at the Waste a bit, and I'll be on him again as Hideki. He's striking it so, so well. Didn't miss the cut here last year, but prior to that, T11, T4, and T23. Coming in an outstanding four, that T15 at the Waste and the T3 at Torrey. So a lot to like there with Hideki at 93. I think Hideki and Xander were way overlooked in this 9K range, and you could have some fun there. Finau, I agree, at 91. I want this to be the week. Like, he fits this course beautifully. If he shows up, it's great. Watching him hit a drive in person in the practice rounds is one of the most exhilarating things I think I've ever seen. Absolutely destroys a golf ball. He's a monster as well. He should be playing basketball, but he's not. But at $9,100, it's a great price tag for a guy that could easily win it. It's going to be tough, though. And then Cantlay at 9,000, it's going to be chalky as chalk. I'll pass on that. So if I only take two guys here, it's Xander and Hideki, but Bubba and Finau are two. I'm definitely keeping an eye on them. They stand out with really good fits for this golf course, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. 8K range, Leishman, Casey, Scott, Fleetwood, Cooch, Smith, Reavy, Sergio. This ought to be a fun week for Sergio. Brendan Grace and Louis Oosthuizen. A very interesting group. A lot of Euros here at the 8K range. Jesse, what are you looking at?
Yeah, I'll just start off. I'm not going to be a fan of Leishman, and I probably won't play any Paul Casey this week. And that's rare for me. But just kind of looking over, like, whenever he has a good performance in a tournament, he's it's rare for him to back it up with another solid performance. When I say solid, I'm talking about like top 10. He's probably a cut maker. He'd probably be okay in cash, but I'll GPPs, I probably won't play him at all. I will play a lot of Tommy Fleetwood at $8,600. I think that price is too low on him. You know, he did not play. He's kind of like the DJ. He's similar to DJ last week. I think he finished 4 under as well, or 3 under in that range, which is good for like 40th or whatever. And so I hope people, you know, kind of see that. And he did play here last year and finished 37th. So nothing special there, but I feel like he can just turn it on anytime. Adam Scott's another interesting guy to me. He missed, I don't know what he did on Saturday, but I think he three putted the last green to miss the cut by one. Like, you know, he missed it right on the number. And so he tends to back up a missed cut pretty well. His course history here is okay. 53rd, 11th, second in 2016. So I do like him. Some more guys that I will consider. Chez, he hits his long irons pretty well. He doesn't have a whole lot of success at this place, which is kind of weird to me. 73rd last year, missed cuts, 7th, and a bunch of missed cuts before that. But I think that will lay some people off of him, so he could be a sneaky GPP option there. And then Brandon Grace, it's 2 weeks in a row. He's played really well. He's got okay course history, made the cut twice here. Finished second in Phoenix, and he started off really well last week and just couldn't – just kind of had a, you know, just a shitty weekend is a good way to put it, I guess. So, but for me in this range, it's definitely Tommy Fleetwood. I'll have some Adam Scott, and I think Chez is kind of the sneaky play.
Yeah, I can see that. I wrote down Casey as, like you said, cash, not GPP. I think he makes a cut, but I'm not going GPP. One of the guys I like a lot here, he's $8,500. He's made 11 of 12 cuts here, including that T26, T22, and T8 his last 3 years, is Matt Kuchar. This guy is locked in. He's basically a T20 or better machine for the most part right now. I mentioned all the stats about DraftKings points gained in the last 3 and 6 weeks, including this tournament. There's a lot to like here with Kuchar at $8,500. I'll be back on that wagon this week. A guy I like a lot, and he comes always at really low ownership, and he's really, really good, and the win is coming, is Cam Smith at $8,400.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned
him. 3 for 3 on 8 cuts here. T6 here last year. He's coming with a T15, T9, T22, first in a T10 his last 5 events he's played in. This guy, he drives it very well. He's got great approach game. I like Cam Smith a lot at $8,400. He's one of the long shot picks I will give later to win. This is a guy I really, really like. He's going to be in the core for me. Low owned, GPP, cash gig, I don't care. Cam Smith at $8,400. Big fan of him this week. And then the last one, you mentioned him, Brandon Grace at $8,100. I think for cash games, I really like him. He can go off the rails at times. Like you said, he had a shitty weekend. But when you look at the grand scheme of things, he's played very well here. He likes these kind of, Pacific, the California swing. He plays pretty well at them. The weather could turn bad here. I know that would be the narrative people will use, but he's striking the ball really, really well. So at $8,100, I have no problem with him at all. The guys I like the most here is Kuch and Cam Smith at $85 and $84. Big fans of those two guys will be in a lot of builds that I look at this week.
One other guy, you got anything for Sergio at all?
I'm not going to touch him.
Are you really? Because, I mean, so, yeah. You know, he's coming off the DQ. It's interesting. He's coming off the DQ. He has made the cut here every time he's played since 2008, which is kind of like odd years. He's not played here consistently. But before the DQ, he was 3rd, 7th, 2nd, 1st back in October. So he has had some better form of late. I think a lot of people will be like you and not play him. So there is some potential there to get Sergio at very low ownership. Just want to throw that out there. I don't know how much I'll actually play of him, but he does kind of rate out him my model on Fantasy Labs because he's hit a lot of greens in regulation here recently. And it might just be courses that he's played because there's big greens or something like that. But just something to consider. I really think that most people will be like you and fade Sergio completely.
He will go extremely low on because, yeah, I think you're right. There'll be a lot of people that'll be naive or stupid like me. We'll see how it looks. But do you have his stats up on Fantasy Labs right now?
I do.
Fantasy National. What is his putting on Poa? That's my biggest concern with him.
Yeah, I didn't look at that. I mean, he's done all right in the past year, so I would assume that it's not terrible.
Too bad. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's his worst surface. He's losing strokes. On average, he's losing strokes on Poa. But, you know, so, I mean, it's not great by any means, but that his form before that DQ was actually pretty good. And,
yeah,
you know, so it'll be interesting to see if he, you know, what it's like for him this week. That the other thing to factor in potentially is, you know, does he get a bunch of questions in the media that ends up getting into his mind and kind of fucking with his head. So
hecklers,
he's a gamble. He's a gamble. You know, if I have 100 lineups, I would probably make 5-6 up with him on it.
No, I don't hate it. The call's good. It'll be a lone guy, a guy that you know could contend. I just don't know where his head's at.
Oh, I'm with you 100%.
This field's going to be a lot different than those fields in Europe. So,
Yeah, that too.
All right, let's go to the 7K range. Tons and tons of golfers. Go 7,500 and above. I'll kick this one off with a few plays here. The only CH3 is only 7,900 bucks. He is a cut-making machine of late, and when it comes here, he's made 4 straight cuts. He has 3 top 10s and 13 of 17 made cuts overall. T37 here last year, T15th the year before. So I like CH3 probably more so for cash, but a little bit of GPP upside is the way we've seen him playing. A guy that stands out here, I'm curious to see how chalky he'll be, but Adam Hadwin at 7,800 bucks. 4 of 4 made cuts here, T6 here last year. Lowest finish is a T34, coming off a T18 at Pebble last week. So a lot to like Hadwin, coming in great form, plays the West Coast very, very well. RCB at 78, another guy I'll be going to. T26 here last year, his first appearance. T22 to Pebble. He was striking really well last week. I was watching him for about 3 or 4 holes on Friday, and he's got a lot of good game, a lot of game. So I like RCB at 7,800 bucks. I'm curious to see the M ownership after he just blew up over the weekend and missed the cut. So M at 77, at least on the radar to keep an eye on. Kokrak at 76, talk about a guy with good course history. 6 of 7 made cuts here, including 4 straight with T20, T22, T2nd, coming in with back-to-back T20s and a T18 overall. So give him a look. GPP-wise, look at Cam Champ. If you're looking at bomber courses, his short game is the part that worries me. So just GPP only, because if he finds bunkers and stuff, this could get ugly. And then you're going to hear the Scott Stallings narrative a lot. He's on the West Coast. I don't want to play a chalky Scott Stallings, so keep that in mind. And the last thing I'll mention in the 7,500 above is my boy Kevin Na. T60 at the waist. He withdrew prior to that. But he's made 9 of 15 cuts here, including back-to-back cuts with a T2 and a T4. Really good iron player when he's on. We know it could be hit and miss with Kevin Na. But if he shows up here, he can play really, really well at low ownership at 7,500 bucks. So at this range, I like Hadwin a ton, RCB, looking at Na, and probably some CH3. What do you like at 7,500 and above?
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much just we're on the same page. I'm not a huge CH3 fan, but I see why people would. Rafa is definitely in play. I mean, he played really well last weekend. He scored a lot of points too along the way, and I don't know if he'll. I don't know how high owned he will be. I do think Adam Hadwin will be chalky. It's hard to in this range to pass up his stats, especially coming off the 6th last year at this golf course. But I do like him. I think he's totally fine for cash. I mean, M did not have a good weekend at all. He missed the cut, right?
Yeah, he blew up. I believe it was Friday afternoon or Saturday. Yeah. One of the rounds, he just completely got destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, and one thing that I did kind of pick up on Twitter was, you know, his bunker game is not very good. You mentioned about, you know, the bunkering around here being pretty tough and it being a big factor. I don't know, you know, if you're going to wait that, you probably don't want to play him. I do like Kokrak a lot. Party Marty Laird. I kind of backed off him last week because he didn't have very good course history. He didn't make the cut. He didn't play very well on Sunday, but 9th, 8th, and 11th the last 3 years here. And, I mean, he's played really well for his price. 26 to the Phoenix. So I don't know if he'll be chalky or not. One guy to maybe consider in between there is Putnam. I'm not a huge fan of Stallings. Like you said, I'm not playing chalky Scott Stallings, who has gone, you know, before his third place finish last week, missed cut, 43rd, missed cut, 69th, 39th. I mean, don't get me wrong, the dude looked jacked. I don't know if you saw him on Sunday, but they said he's been hitting the gym, and you can tell it. He looked fit. So
the only PGA Tour player I know that's been busted for PEDs.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, but you know, you might look at Putnam as the kind of the off the chalk pivot there. He did finish 49th here in 2015. So you might consider him. I'm not a huge fan, though. I do like Kokrak and Laird quite a bit, and then Rafa and Hadwin. But I just feel like all four of those are going to be like the talk of this region. And so I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, and we can maybe differentiate somewhere else or go from there. But 7,400 and below, a lot going on there. Who do you like?
Yeah, start off with Sung Kang at 7,400. Again, I don't think this will be under the radar pick. 16th here last year, 22nd the year before. And he's just been hitting the ball really well, particularly the last week. If he could putt, he probably would have been there in contention. I think JB Holmes is a guy who deserves a few lineups this week. Course history is not like off the charge, 60th, 34th, 11th, 22nd, 52nd. And he missed the cut last week, but did make the cut at the Phoenix Open. He's GPP only, obviously. Another guy to consider, well, a few more guys to consider. Keimer, he rates out highly my model, 53rd here last year. He did miss the cut in Phoenix, but before that he was top 25 in pretty consistently, and at least in his last four starts. Kevin Streelman had a really, really good Sunday. Shot 7 under, I do believe, on Sunday to sneak inside the top 10 there. Course history is okay, nothing great, but I don't mind him. Charlie Hoffman's another guy who's been around here a bunch, made a bunch of cuts in a row here, and he's played okay of late. Nothing special, but the course history is there for him. And then Harold Varner, I think I'll probably hop back on him this week. 60th here last year, missed cut, 22nd, 70th in his last four starts here. He did finish 10th, though, at the Phoenix Open, and we've mentioned it before on this podcast. It's not the same HV3 that played here last year. I mean, he's in his last few starts here, he's 10th, missed cut, 18th, 16th, 6th. I mean, he's just playing really well, hit a bunch of greens, and so I hope he goes overlooked, and most people don't get on him because I like him quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, when I went through the pricing and made my list before the podcast, I saw him priced at 7,000. I'm like, oh shit, I'm gonna have a lot of HP3.
Yeah.
I can't pass it up. Like, I know he can be volatile, but it's like the guy this time last year, it was more like 30% make a cut, 70% not. Now I want to almost flip that. It's like, okay, I trust him to make a cut almost 70% of the time right now. And for $7,000, yeah, I feel good about that. we played. We'll talk about a guy in the 6,000 we played last week for 6,100, and he finished like 700 par. So anything can happen. But I do like HE3 a lot at 7K. Brian Gay at 7,000 is another guy I like. Good finish under the lights with the boys yesterday at Pebble. Finished T7. He missed a cut here last year. He hasn't played well here in a while. So course history is a little rough, but coming in really good form. One guy you'll see with a lot of good course history is Sun Moon Bay. He's made four or four cuts here. Kenny Kim was tweeting out that the South Koreans do really well here. So if you want to believe in that at 7K, he's a decent GPP type dart. One I think might go overlooked, I like at $7,100, is JT Poston. I know he can be very tilty when the putter's not there. It's bad. Didn't play here last year. Year before, finished T17. He's got four straight made cuts on tour, T26, T40, T7, and T20. Coming in really good form, especially for JT Poston standards. $7,100, a little bit of upside there. I like the JB Holmes call. Course history is amazing here. And he's boomer bust, like you said. He's GPP. It's like T25 or better, or he's missing the cut. So I don't hate that. I'm going to go back to the Keegan Bradley well, week in, week out, more so cash than GPP. He hasn't really been rattling off the GPP winning upside. But, you know, T65, T35, T29, T27, 15, he's making cuts. And that's what he does over and over again. Did miss the cut here last year, but T34 the year before has made 5 of 8 cuts at this tournament. You mentioned Kang. I like him a lot at $7,400. I think that's a really, really good one. And then the last guy I'll mention, he finished T20 here last year, made back-to-back cuts at this tournament. Bud Cauley at $7,400 is another guy on the list in the lower 7K range. So there's a lot here. We agree on a good amount of it. I think HV3 is way underpriced. I think Poston's interesting. Then give me some Cauley and Kang if I have to narrow it down. But I don't mind a little bit of each of them if you're making a bunch of lineups, kind of be building around those guys. All right, let's get into the nasty 6K range where I was having trouble finding people that I like compared to weeks past. I found some eventually, but it was not nearly as sexy, Jesse. What do you like down here?
That's funny. I kind of like this range this week, and usually you're the one who's more so the 6K guy than me. So I don't know
That's weird.
That means. But I'll just start at the top. Jim Furyk, man. Just looking at some kind of course history stuff. I mean, obviously missed the cut here last year, but he's had a bunch of made cuts in the row before that. And just looking at like deep down stats just at this golf course, it's interesting. You know, I wouldn't put him on a whole bunch of teams, but he's, you know, he's played well. He made the cut last week. There was some guy who's a doctor in Golf Digest who wanted to fade him, which, you know, I mean, yeah, like let's fade 2% on Jim Furyk. That's fine. Finished 14th last week at the AT&T Pro-Am. So I like Jim Furyk at $6,900. Harkins, another guy.
All right. What I like in the 6K range, I'm going to look at guys like Nick Taylor at $6,700. Coming in yeah, Nick Taylor type form. But when it comes to this tournament, he has made three or four cuts here, including three straight. Made it a T28 his last time out, so someone to keep an eye on there. Annibon Lahiri at $6,600 is a guy I really, really like this week. Every now and then I'll be on Lahiri train. He's always a GPP-only type guy because he's got that boomer bust type upside. But when you look at Lahiri, as I pull him up right here, he's made three or three straight cuts here, T26 last year. So he's another guy to keep an eye on down here in your GPP plays. Langley at 66, coming off the sixth at Pebble. Made T22 here. Two starts ago. Another guy, Sam Saunders at $6,600, is definitely someone to keep an eye on. Two of two made cuts here, including a T26 last year. A guy I like on Bombers courses with GPP upside, it's very – he could miss the cut, but Johnny Vegas, he's made four to six cuts here, missed cut last year, T15 the year before, T10'd in his last tournament out. So someone to keep an eye on there at $6,500. You got guys like Sam Ryder at 64 that we're usually big fans of as well. Julian Etchlin at $6,300. He was the guy I mentioned earlier at 61 last week that finished really well at T38. First time here, but really good stuff. And then if you really want to punt it at $6,100, look at a guy like Johnny Huh. That's a guy you can take a look at, but not the biggest fan of that. All right, Jesse, wrapped up the pricing. Who are some GPP plays you're looking at?
Hello.
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay. I muted my mic. You know, naturally, that's you know, obviously that would just be the fix. I understand what the problem was there. Our internet the last couple of weeks has not been the best. Let me go back to the 6K range just in case that wasn't caught for me. Okay. I'm just going to run through it real quick. Hudson Swafford, Jim Furyk, Brandon Harkins, Kyle Stanley, Jonathan Vegas, and Carlos Ortiz with Swafford. And Harkins and Stanley kind of be my plays down there. I think Stanley's priced too low there. He could turn it on anytime. So GPP wise, just go ahead and add those guys in there from what I just said. And then also kind of further up a little bit, a few guys that'll be on, you know, Kokrak, I think he'll be chalky, but I do like him quite a bit this week. And then JB Holmes as well.
Yeah. Something I like for the GPP plays is because low ownership, big boom upside, guys like Finau, Cam Smith, Hideki, and then if you go down farther, you know, the likes of, I think Cam Champ's a really interesting GPP type play. I really do, because we could see both sides of that, same with Sung JM, a couple different options there. Who do you like a little more in cash games, a little more safety for you?
Yeah, I mean, cash wise, you know, I'm kind of opposite of you. I think Hideki will be chalky. I don't mind him in cash. You know, cash this week is going to be tough. This pricing is good, but if I was going to make a cash team for me, I would put Tommy Fleetwood on there. I have no issue with him at all. I think Adam Hadwin's a good cash game play this week as well. So those would be like my two core, and then I would probably build around that a little bit, but that's where I would start.
Yeah, I'd be building around Kuchar, RCB, and if you want to go up top, John Rahm. But I like those, but I think I'm going to say it now. I think, A, it's a great week for cash because of the way the pricing in the field. Secondly, if you want Tiger Woods action, I have no problem playing him in cash, but I don't want to play him in the GPP. I think he'll make the cut. Just not sure how high he'll finish. But like Kuchar, RCB, I like your Hadwin call. That could be like a good core right there in the cash game world. All right, let's pick some winners this week. Again, go to mybookie.ag. If you want a 50% deposit bonus, first-time deposit bonus, use promo code BENCHED. $100 gets you $50. They have a lot of great odds for the weeks. So they'll come out with the top 20s, top 10s coming through. And they're usually a lot friendlier than your other lines. And I just noticed this last weekend, if you want to play AAF football, they actually have that on there, Jesse. AAF football, one of the few sites that has it. So MyBookie.ag, promo code BENCH, first time 50% deposit bonus. Who do you like winning this thing?
What kind of odds you got on Xander?
The X-Man is 22-1.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a bad number on him. What about Fleetwood?
Fleetwood, we have the likes of 40-1.
See, I would bet those two numbers. Those would be my two picks.
Nice. I like Hideki at 28-1 and Cam Smith at 35-1. Big Cam Smith guy this week. Big fan. But all right, that'll wrap us up this week, Jesse. Another fun week in the golf coming up here at Riviera. And then they start, I believe, after this week, they head to Florida, if I'm not mistaken. So the West Coast swing is coming to an end. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to say a couple things. Look at the weather. I already looked at it this morning. It does look like there's going to be some rain that moves in on Thursday. Obviously, that's subject to change over the next few days. Looks like it kind of tapers off throughout the day. And then the rest of the week does look good, but there could be a little bit of a better draw for guys who are teeing off late on Thursday. So keep that in mind. I also want to say, you know, appreciate everybody who's supported us doing this podcast. I know last week was a little bit rough. We had some internet trouble this week. Obviously it's going to creep up again. I don't know what the deal is with us, but appreciate everybody's support. You know, we're doing this all for free. We're doing it because we love to watch golf. We love to bet golf, love to play golf. And we appreciate everybody who listens every week and hops in the Slack and bullshits with us on Twitter and all that stuff. I appreciate everybody who does that.
Yeah, no, I echo those sentiments. The green screens and the Slack's always fun. It's kind of what we do it for, helping people out, watching them win. It's a blast. We have fun doing it, and the excitement we see from other people, it's a ton of fun. So, yeah, thanks to everybody that does it every once in a while. Technology is a fickle bitch, but there's nothing we can do about it. I'd love to be sitting in the same room as Jesse, just not possible.
Yeah, until you move to Kentucky.
Yeah, I think you might want to move out here. You always say you want to play golf in the wintertime. I got your place.
I've done the California thing, man. No thanks.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I understand completely. But all right, everybody. Jesse's on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BDNtrick, and the podcast is at Always Press DFS. This was your Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2019 Genesis Open. Catch you guys later.